it's not going to be a metaphor. It's a reality. All right. Let's go to Luke 17. We're in verse 22. How'd I get to that? I turned to Luke 22 and I got Matthew 25. How did I do that? Miracles. All right. And he said unto his disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. To understand this, we have to do some Daniel stuff. Before we do Daniel, let's go to Matthew 9.
Daniel 9.
Matthew 9. We're going to go to Daniel in a little bit. That we're trying to explain what it means, if you'll desire to see the days of the Son of Man, and they shall not see it.
It's interesting what that comes after, right after the Pharisees wonder where the kingdom was, he said it's in you, and then it transitions to right. This.
All right, verse... This is some more questions. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not? Notice we still have here, at least a year into the ministry, we still have disciples of John having not become believers yet. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom was with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old wine bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottle perish, but they put new wine into new bottles, and they are preserved. So, there's something going on here about the desire to see the Son of Man, and can't, and then he uses that as a parable about the no man putteth a new cloth unto an old garment, and neither do men put new wine into old bottles. And so this is more and more and more pushing the disciples and the people to understand that there's nothing about them except to be an empty vessel. If they... And it's because that's the new creation, that's the new bottle, if you will. And you don't put, the same is true with the cloth thing. And so, let's go to 1 and John, and then we'll go to see if we can get the whole thing out. John 17. Yeah. Remember, John 17, what we call the Lord's Prayer is really the disciples' prayer, and John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. It's what he prayed just before he was crucified. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that the Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. And all are mine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I came to thee, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Now, again, the whole theme of everything we're looking at today is this idea of the Messiah is not the Messiah that everybody is expected. It's not the Messiah that your mind can comprehend. It's not the Messiah that does the things that you think he should do. It's a Messiah that has only the Father's interest in mind. So, let's see. Now, let's see if we can put this all together in Daniel 7. Remember, the predicate for this is the days come when they shall desire to see the Son of Man, and they shall not. All right. Daniel 7. Any thoughts so far?
That's a pretty powerful prayer. And the fact that he's praying to God, something should happen.
That's why the whole of the mystery of God, we've got to see that you must be dead or you cannot partake of it. There must be none of you left. Because then you would, if there were some of you left, then you could see the days of the Son of Man. Because the days of the Son of Man would be continued. Amen?
This is part of your point then, right?
Yeah. So this is Daniel's vision. We're going to read the vision and then the interpretation. The dream. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and the visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side and had three ribs in his, the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. And after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there was 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in his horn, in this horn, were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. And I beheld the thrones that I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, the books were opened. And I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till a beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, and yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Now we're getting to the point. One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. And his dominion was an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. Now, the beasts, which we'll see in a minute, the first beast was Babylon, the second beast was Median or Persia, the third beast was Macedonia, and the fourth beast was Rome. And so he's prophesying what's going to happen up till the Roman Empire. So let's read the interpretation. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me to know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are 4 kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue of his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more about than his failing, than his fellows. What?
More stout than his fellows.
Oh, more stout. Yeah, I need new glasses. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. And thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth. and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are the 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue the 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and a times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much trouble me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter to my heart. And so what Daniel saw over 500 years, over 500 years before Christ, he saw these kingdoms that were coming upon the earth. The first was Babylon. The second was Persia. The third was Macedonia, and the fourth was Rome. And each of the details of that prophecy and that vision were fulfilled in those 4 kingdoms. And so all of that had to take place, and then till the end of the Roman Empire, which is the end of man. So the first place where this Son of Man was mentioned is in verse, 14. Is it verse 14?
Verse
13. Yeah, the Psalm 13. And so what he's saying here, he's prophesying the Messiah. At the end, he's saying that even the saints in all those kingdoms there shall be much tribulation, and that now after Rome, after Christ, if you will, after his crucifixion, there's not any kingdoms left. There's only the whore or the bride. There's only vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy. There's no politics. There's no game playing between. I mean, there's no God. You know, there's no America that's in the kingdom of God. There's not. It's all done. Now all that is left, and this is what we must see in order to perceive rightly, we must see that's all that's left. There's no more Jew, there's no more American, there's no more Russian, there's no more Greek. From God's perspective, and if we're going to confess the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have to confess and see the same thing he sees. Now this destroys all political action. Anybody understand the meaning of this? We desire to see the days of the Son of Man because that's Messiah after the flesh. We desire somehow that flesh is going to be saved. But once we crucify him, then that was the last hope for the flesh. Anybody see this?
Yeah, it seems pretty clear at the end. It says that the kingdom shall be given to the people of the saints.
But it's not no longer the king of the Son of Man. It's the king of the Son of God.
I meant Christ.
Yeah. Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
We no longer see him as Son of Man. That's why it says, know no man after the flesh. Yeah. Yea, we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Do you understand? If he's after the flesh and anything now, since his crucifixion, then there would be all kinds of justifiable wars and nothing that's going on is even seen by God. The last kingdom he saw was Rome.
That's what I was getting to a minute ago, is that that the finality of the last verse 27 and 28, here's the end of the matter.
Where's the one that talks about the stone? That's another one of Daniel's. I should be smarter. So even at the time, I mean, remember, Babylon was in control at the time of Daniel. But because Daniel saw, remember the thing that the finger of God wrote upon Belshazzar, the wall, when they were having a feast?
Yeah.
And the finger.
Hey, check a little farce, and you've been weighed in the balance and found lacking.
No, it's more. It's found you, and it
eternally
means
lacking.
Each of us. You have been weighed in the balance and found to be eternally lacking. Now, that's all of us. There's no more. If we go anywhere other than God for our sustenance, we're committing fornication. If we lean on our own arm of understanding for anything, it's sin. This thing that we desire to see the Son of Man, we think that Son of Man is going to have something to do with us because we are of the flesh. No. There's only the bride and the whore. That's all that's left. Can you see how important the understanding of this is? The desire to see the Son of Man, and they shall not. So they don't see it, so they have false visions. And they say, well, this is America. We've got the 10 tribes are here, whatever the hell they say. It's just craziness. But it's just as crazy for us to think that God's going to bless what we're doing. That's why we now, the only purpose of time and space is that his saints would enter the rest. There remaineth now a rest for the people of God. That rest is the only place where you're safe.
Yeah.
You're musing, Gary. What are you doing?
I saw something while you were reading about among the tens of thousands times 10,000s of worshiping God. And I had this, here it is, a fire extreme issue that came forth from heaven to
can't I find this?
And I couldn't always say that.
Oh, here we are. Go to Daniel 3. Or Daniel 2, I mean, I'm sorry. And then in verse 36, this is Nebuchadnezzar's dream. I was looking for Daniel's dream. I forgot it's Daniel's interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream.
So you're in Daniel what?
2. And we're going to, he said what the, and again, this is where, I mean, talk about a prophet. This is where the Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't even tell him what the dream was. Daniel had to tell him what the dream was and then the interpretation of the dream.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody tells you what you dream, you can come up with some interpretation. But he said, what did I dream? And if you don't tell me, I'm going to kill you. And what's the interpretation of what I dreamt? So this is the interpretation of what he dreamt. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Verse 36. Thou, king, art a king of kings, where did I start?
You're verse 37, and you need glasses, if you can realize that.
I think I said that earlier, Pete.
I think you did, but you just don't.
Thou, our king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given unto thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom, inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which will bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, as the iron breaketh, all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. Now that's the thing that it's the same kingdoms. It's Babylon, then Persia, Macedonia, then Rome. And verse 42, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, we saw that too. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Again, that's why Daniel, in the Jewish mind, Daniel is so critical. That's why the 70 weeks of Daniel finish all this. And a kingdom is set up that has absolutely nothing to do with the flesh except as a vessel. But if you use your mind, then the vessel is, you're trying to pour new wine into old wineskins. And the mind is the wineskin. So it's what I'm trying to get, and the reason I spend so much time in this is to see the finality and see all the things that you don't have to concern yourself with. Enter that rest and let it be complete. Don't let any works lead you, no matter what it costs you to come to that place. If the works lead you, then you're not in the rest. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit. And what? They shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So if you're doing anything for which the work is leading you, from God's perspective, that is idolatry. You must flee the idolatry. Otherwise, you're trying to get it to see the Son of Man. That's why all the people moved back to Israel from all over the world. That's why it's finished. To me, it means it's finished. There's nothing more that man can do that has the slightest meaning. It's vanity of vanities. You've been judged in the balance. You've been found eternally lacking. This was a combination of teaching and preaching, I hope. Can anybody want to discuss it or argue with it or?
Lacking means I see, I quit.
Yeah, it means you've seen the emptiness and vanity of all things, including your ideas, especially your ideas, or my ideas, or anybody's ideas.
Especially your ideas.
Yeah, especially mine. Shut up, Pete. Pete had a bad evening last night.
Terrible.
It was like the Three Stooges all were in Pete.
Yeah, it was a movie scenario like that. You couldn't write the script for it.
Oh, go ahead and tell him.
Yeah, yesterday, remember how you and I set up the pump? And
yeah.
So I had the pump ready to go, and the trench was full of water again from the rain yesterday. So I
turned the pump on.
I plugged it in, and it wasn't fiddling, so I fiddled with the float, you know, to make it run. And all of a sudden, I was showered with mud and water because Francisco had removed the hose from the pump.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't realize it. That was a start. So then we moved
some bodies, those are.
No, you've got to see, you've got to hear the rest of this.
Then we've been fighting flies that have been coming down from Natalie's cats that were and trying to fumigate seal holes and everything. And so David had this bright idea of putting fly bags, bait bags in his house to catch all the flies in his house. But instead, he was drawing flies from
everywhere.
The whole neighborhood. And so I realized that and I took the one out. There were these tiny little strings that he had tied them up with. So I got one out, and then the second one I grabbed a string, I cut the string, and I was carrying it out, and the string just gave way. And the bait bag with all the bloody bait water in it hit the floor and exploded. And just
went all over
everywhere. Went over me. The smell.
So now it's a fly trap.
The room is a fly trap now. And so what we were trying to do to get rid of the flies in the house, so I could, you know, keep my good tenants, Christina and David. Now that whole room has become a fly ball.
It attracts more flies.
So now I've got
you're doing the neighborhood.
I've got an impossible task now. text about 3 or 4 pages long from slight exaggeration from David saying, you know, I wish you told me you were going to move the bike bags. I would have told you to be careful about them. And he had them on, you know, this little tiny string, and it just broke.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about. The whole thing about it. The next phase after that is chastisement.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's suffering.
You found that you're lacking.
I had one thing I wanted, I wanted to add before Oli turns it off. You know, Pete is a landlord, but you are now Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the Flies. Take it, big guy.